gracious Father, we are grateful to gather as your people to worship you, King of kings, Lord of lords. Jesus, thank you for the beauty and glory of the resurrection that we can live today as people of hope in your grace. I pray that you would bring the powerful presence of your Holy Spirit among us this morning. Open the eyes of our heart to these unsearchable riches of your grace found through your word, and transform us more and more into the image of our Savior. That's what we ask as we come submitting to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Billy Graham wrote a book a number of years ago on the Holy Spirit, and in it he wrote these words: "Everywhere I go, I find that God's people lack something," and he went a lot of places. "They're hungry for something. Their Christian experience is not all they expected, and they often have reoccurring defeat in their lives." Their Christian experience is not all they expected. Maybe that's where some of you are this morning, discouraged, longing for joy that you heard about, this joy and life in Christ, and you're like, where is this joy, right? You're longing, but you struggle to find peace. I think that, friends, is where a lot of people are in the church today. They long to that the Christian life be something different than what they're actually experiencing today. He goes on and he writes, "Christians today are hungry for spiritual fulfillment. The most desperate need of the nation today is that men and women who profess Jesus be filled with the Holy Spirit." That's the answer, friends, to that longing that we all have, to that the reoccurring defeat in when our experience is not as we expected. I believe it's the Holy Spirit that comes to answer those questions, to fill us with that joy and that peace that I believe we all long for. Now, I don't know what your view of the Holy Spirit is, but I think the Holy Spirit is the most misunderstood person of the Trinity. It's easy, well, it's not easy, but we can have a concept, right, of God the Father, because we know what fathers are like. We all have them. We can understand to agree that the second person of the Trinity, Jesus the Son, right? But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we're like, who is this person? And is he a person? Because some of you have referred to him in the past as the Holy Ghost, right? And when I think of a Holy Ghost, I'm thinking of Casper the Friendly Ghost, who kind of zooms in and is with you and then zooms out, right? This impersonal force. What I want us to do this morning, and we're going to begin a journey that's going to take us well into the summer, is we're going to unpack who the third person of the Trinity is. Who is this Holy Spirit? What is he all about? What is his role in the church today, right? Is it different than it was in the end of the New Testament time when the canon was closed? Does the Holy Spirit operate differently today than he did then? Answering the question, how do I understand the Holy Spirit's work in my life today? And what are the gifts of the Spirit? And are they all still open today for God's children to have? And then the final thing we're going to be looking at is, what does it look like for you and me as God's people to live out of the fullness of the Spirit? Because I believe that's what the Lord longs for his church. And I think one of the reasons why the church is not as vibrant, is not as alive as the Lord would like it to be, is because we don't understand the work of the Holy Spirit. Maybe some of you are like me, where in the tradition that I had grown up in, well, been in ministry for a number of years before I came to St. Andrews, the Holy Spirit was the third person of the Trinity, but he was kept in a box because you don't want him to get too wild, right? You've seen some charismatics and all the dancing and raising hands and falling down and think, so this group over here went to one extreme and kept him in a box. Well, I want to tell you, God is not to be put in a box. The Father is not to be put in a box. The Son is not to be put in a box. And the Holy Spirit certainly is not to be put in a box. And so what we need is clarity on who the Holy Spirit is. You see, I think, again, it's our lack of understanding, our lack of clarity hinders us from appropriating the full power that the Lord longs for us to live in through his Spirit today. Amen? Paul wrote in Romans 8:11 these glorious words, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. What's he saying? He's saying this: the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. Now, friends, that's resurrection power, is it not? That's the power that's available for you and me every moment of every day. And I long for this church at St. Andrews. I long for us to understand the Spirit so that we can live out of the fullness of the Spirit. So the Lord longs for us, I believe, that through the presence of the Holy Spirit, you and I would grow in a deeper intimacy with God. Do you long for that? Do you long to grow in a deeper intimacy with the Lord? The Spirit allows us, it enables us to do that. I love Paul wrote in Romans 5:5 these words that I've been thinking a lot about lately. It's the Spirit of God who pours the love of God into our hearts. That's one of the functions of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to step back and think about that picture. If it's the Holy Spirit who pours the love of God in our hearts, do you see how powerful that is? If you're someone who struggles with identity, with wrestling of seeking the approval of others, that's a verse that you need to cling to. That it's the Holy Spirit who pours the love of the Father into us. Friends, when we know the love of the Father, when we are full of the love of the Father and the love of the Son, we don't have to go to somebody else to try to get identity from, do we? Because not only are we full, but I believe that we are full to overflowing. That our lives actually begin to reflect and represent the love of God among us. That's the love of the Father through the Spirit. But I also believe that the Lord longs that we would experience the power of the Spirit to enable us to love one another more deeply, to serve one another, to serve the community, to be witnesses of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to those who do not know him. We cannot do that in our own strength. We will not do it in our own strength. We will stay in our own safe little homes with our own friends unless we're filled with the overflowing power of the Spirit. Then we're going to get out into the community and be his hands and feet. I believe the Lord also longs that we would have a greater degree of holiness. And that's what the Holy Spirit brings to us as well. The Lord longs that we be a people filled with his Spirit. If you look on your on the announcements that you have, were handed out this morning, the graphic says these words, Arden sed viren. Arden sed viren. It's Latin. It's the motto for the Irish Presbyterian Church. You know what it means? It means ablaze but flourishing. And I love that picture. I love that image because I think it's what the Lord longs for his church today. That we would be a people ablaze with the fire of the Holy Spirit and flourishing. I don't think the church is flourishing like the Lord Jesus wants it to. But what I hope, my hope and prayer is not just this Sunday, but as we journey through this series, that you will begin to fan the flame, as Paul wrote. Fan the flame of the Spirit in your life to become set ablaze and flourishing. That as his church flourishes, so will the community around us. So all of that is by way of introduction, okay? That's where we're headed. But this morning, we're going to step back and we're going to go all the way back to the beginning to see what does God's word say about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament and especially at creation, okay? What I want you to understand is we can often think that the Holy Spirit is a New Testament person, right? But he's not. The Holy Spirit has been around. The Trinity, the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit have always existed. One God in three persons. But when you read the Old Testament, you wonder, is the Holy Spirit there? And what we have to understand this is God's people in the Old Testament did not understand the Trinity. The concept of the Trinity is not clear in the Old Testament. What they saw was the one true God. And that's who they sought to worship, the one true God. But what we find is this, that God chose to reveal this aspect of his person, the Holy Spirit, over time, okay? And it's not until the New Testament that we fully understand who the Holy Spirit is. But there's certainly hints and glimpses of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. B.B. Warfield, a 20th century theologian, put it this way. He compared the Holy Spirit to a room that was richly furnished but poorly lit. Now picture that. A room richly furnished but pretty dark. And he said, when we introduce better lighting, it doesn't change what's in the room. It simply enables us to see the things that were already there more clearly. That's what the New Testament does. The Holy Spirit has always been there. And the New Testament comes and brings light. And so as we look at the Holy Spirit, even this morning, at the beginning of creation, we're going to be able to do it through the lens of what we know about the Spirit through the New Testament. Now, what we have to see is in creation, all three persons of the Trinity were at work in creating. And I'm not going to go into each person's function except the Holy Spirit, okay? Because what I want us to see is understanding the Holy Spirit's work in creation gives us insight into His work in your life and in mine today. Two things we're going to look at briefly. The first is this, the personal, caring nature of the Holy Spirit we see at the beginning of creation. The personal, caring nature of the Holy Spirit. And secondly, this, that the Holy Spirit is the giver of life. Let's look at the first one, the personal nature of the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Could you imagine that? This creation that God was about to speak into existence, this form void, it was chaos. And there you have the Spirit of God hovering over what was about to be created. Now, the Hebrew word for hovering is rahaf. It's only used one other time in the Pentateuch, and it's in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now, that gives us insight into what this work of the Holy Spirit was doing at the beginning of creation. And the context of Deuteronomy 32 is God caring for the Israelites in their helpless situation. So get a picture of the Lord caring for these people in a helpless place. Here's what we read in Deuteronomy 32, verses 10 through 11. He found him in a desert land, and in the howling of waste of the wilderness, he encircled him, he cared for him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up his nest, hovering over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on his pinions. Let me tell you what that picture is representing for you and me. It's a picture of an eagle hovering over its nest. And its young ones are beginning to fly. And as the eagle is hovering over the nest, and the baby birds begin to fly, and they begin to flap their wings and come out of the nest. And if you've ever seen that happen, you know they often fall right to the ground as they try to get their wings going. But it's a picture of an eagle hovering over, caring for his creation, that as those young ones begin to fall, the eagle comes and lifts them back up and puts them in the nest. Are you getting a picture of God through His Spirit hovering over creation, caring for those He created? You see, friends, what it is for you and me when you think about the Spirit of God was hovering, was God really does care about what He created. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force. The Holy Spirit is very personal. The Holy Spirit is very present. Do you see that? And the Holy Spirit cares about what He creates. Just as the Holy Spirit was hovering over the chaos and darkness and void of creation, so the same Spirit of the living God hovers over your life and mine every moment of the day. And we need to know that, don't we? You know, before Jesus went to the cross, He had a lot of conversations with His disciples. And one of them was when He was telling His disciples that He was going to be leaving them, and they're like, wait, you can't leave us. We need you here. We like you here. It's safe with you here. You protect us. You teach us things. Listen what Jesus said to them in John 14, verses 16 and 17. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Those incredible words of the Savior saying, I'm leaving, but I'm going to bring my Holy Spirit, who is there from the very beginning of time and has always been there, hovering over, watching over my people, caring for them in every way. I don't know what fears are before you this morning. I don't know what anxiety you brought in here this morning. Whatever it is, whatever you wake up to tomorrow, I want you to know this. The Spirit of the living God is with you. He is personal. He is present. He cares. Hovering over your life and mine. And actually, the reality is he's not just hovering over us. He is indwelling us. And you can't get any closer than that. That, friends, is the comfort and peace of the Holy Spirit. We also find in creation that the Holy Spirit is the giver of life. As God spoke creation into being, it's the Spirit that brought life to it. When God said, "Let there be light," he spoke those words, and the Spirit went forth and created, bringing life out of something that was void and dead. In the Old Testament, the Spirit is often translated as ruach, meaning breath or wind. And so you see God speaking life into being, and the breath of God brings life to that which was dead. That's why in the Nicene Creed, we say the words, the Spirit is the giver of life. That's who the Holy Spirit is. So in creation, he breathed each day into being. And then we read in Genesis 2, verse 7, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground." And what did he do? He breathed into his nostrils. He breathed the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. Here's what I want you to see this morning. God is a life-giving God. God is a life-giving God. I think there are a lot of people today, even in the church, and I know outside the church, who have a misconception of who God is. And maybe you're here this morning and you're coming from that vein. You see God as someone who's angry. You see God who is someone who just is trying to get all our lives in line and take the fun and joy away. You see God as robbing us of our personal freedom. All kinds of images we can have of God. But what I want you to see this morning is this, a clear picture of who he is. He is a life-giving God. I mean, think about it. The God who had always existed is not a God who hoards life. He did not have to create. He always existed in the perfect unity of the Trinity, in perfect love. But because God loves life, he chose to create the heavens and the earth. He chose to create you and me because he has life. Because he loves life. And in creating you and me, do you know what he did? He longs that in creating you and me, we would enter into that glorious relationship of the Trinity and know what true love really is. Do you see that? That's who our God is. That we would experience this life-giving God bringing life to you and me so that we could experience it to the fullness in the presence of the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And I want you to see this. The God who spoke life into that which was dark and formless and void is the same God who brings life to you and me today. You see, just as he spoke into the chaos of darkness and brought life, God speaks into the chaos of your life and mine to bring life. Is that not good news? That's what he came to do, friends. He knows the void of our lives. He knows the chaos of our lives. He knows the darkness of our lives. And he knows that we come into this world spiritually dead. Yes, we're given life as human beings, but when we come into this world, when we're born spiritually dead. And that's the greater thing that God longs to bring life into for you and me. And then we read these words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to what he wrote. and you who were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. That's pretty bleak, isn't it? I mean, does it get any worse than that? That's the reality, friends, of life outside of relationship with God, that we are seen as children of wrath because we followed the path of this world. And what does he say? It's death. It brings spiritual death to you and me. But then the two glorious words that we find in Scripture, you know what they are? But God. But God. Listen to what he did. But God, being rich in mercy. If you have a view of God as this ogre in the sky who's mean and evil, you need to hear these words. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we were dead, made us alive together with Christ. He made us alive. And then we read these words, by grace you've been saved by faith. That's the good news of the gospel. That's why we celebrate the glory of the resurrection. But God came to rescue us. How'd he do it? How'd he do it? How did he bring life to you and me? He did it through the Holy Spirit. The Lord, the giver of life, the Holy Spirit breathing life into our spiritually dead bodies, just like he did with Adam as he made him from the dust of the earth. He breathed life into his nose and he became a living creature. So, in the same way, the Spirit of the living God breathes his life into you and me and takes someone who was spiritually dead, and we now come alive. We come alive. Are you alive? Are you alive? The Spirit brings that to you and me. Now, I want you to see this. It's all of God. It's all of God, is it not? I used to think that it was me. Maybe some of you have too. I used to think that it was me that got to that place when I was a junior at Ole Miss and I had partied out and it was not fun anymore and there was a huge void. I thought it was me who cried out to God and said, I need help, come. But it wasn't. It was the Holy Spirit who had first come to breathe life into me, who enabled me to receive the glorious gift of new life in him. You see, it wasn't until I was in seminary that I grasped that. Because I used to think that it was me, but let me tell you how dangerous it is when we think that we're the ones who comes to bring life and comes to claim Christ as our own. You see, if I believe that I'm the one who chose him, then guess what happens? Then I also believe that I'm the one who's got to stay in his good graces, right? If I believe I chose him, that I then believe that I've got to keep a good life going so that God will not be angry with me. That is a wrong view of the gospel. And I think there are too many people in the church today that have that view of the gospel. Think about it. A dead person cannot come alive, can they? When you're dead and buried in the ground, can you all of a sudden get up and walk out? Can you do anything to reach up? No, we are dead. Only by the Spirit of the living God coming to breathe life to you and me can we have life. And friends, let me tell you what. When I understood that for the first time, my view of God became huge. Because I used to think that it was me, that I had the greater part to play, but I didn't. I realized it was all of God, and I thought, God, you in your mercy would take someone who didn't want anything to do with you, and you would breathe life into me so that I could know you? That's power. That's resurrection power. That's how big our God is. And I think far too many in the church have a small view of God. And that's why our worship of God is not nearly as dynamic as the Lord would long for it to be. You see, understanding this life-giving role of the Holy Spirit, do you know what it does? It produces such a deep sense of awe and worship in you and me that we can't help but claim these words from Revelation 4. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Worthy are you. That will only be the praise of our lips and our worship when we see God as big as he is. That it's God who is the author and giver of life. It's the Holy Spirit bringing life into you and me. Friends, this is just the beginning. What I hope you walk away with this morning is to see that the Holy Spirit is not some impersonal force out there who comes in and goes out in various times in your life, but a personal God who cares and is with you moment by moment, and that you would see that he is the giver of life, not just in creation, not just when he redeems us and breathes life, spiritual life into us, but he is the giver of life every moment of the day. And so I end with these words from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 32:15. The Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the desert becomes like a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest. My prayer for us as we walk forward to dive in, to understand more of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, is that the Lord in his grace would pour his Spirit upon us, and that our lives, though like a desert now, would become like a fertile field, like a glorious forest, where we're living in the fullness of all that the Lord has for you and me and his church. Father, we give this to you. We ask that you through your grace would bring a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. Where we do not understand, I pray that you would help us understand. And Lord, let it not just be a knowledge that stays in our minds, but may we truly experience the reality that the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. And may we praise you because you alone are worthy of all power and honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.